I said a little while ago that I really have a different concept of God. A new day, and today we start with the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I said a little while ago that I really have a different concept of God in this message tonight. I feel that God dropped this on me because I certainly didn't come up with it. And it's not something that I would have searched out. And I didn't read it anywhere, so we'll just take it for what God has given us. And the book of Ephesians chapter 3, you've been up a long time, remain seated. I don't think there is any attitude of lack of reverence in this place tonight. So I'll let you just take the Bible and read with me and sit where you are. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Mystery. Mystery. I told someone a few days ago, and I preached this, the only thing that makes you afraid of the dark is the unknown aspect. You can put more boogers in the dark than ever has existed out there. It gets in your mind. It is things that we don't understand that frightens us. You young folks have had a good time talking, some of you tonight, so now let's hang all that up and let's listen to what the Word of God says. All right? Is that good enough? Young folks say amen. That's unanimous. I mean, everybody's going to do it. But he talks about the mystery. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Heirs. We talk about being heirs a lot. I'd like to find out that I was a long lost heir to some great fortune. It'd be fun. It really would. It'd be fun to do that. I am confident that it won't ever happen to me. I don't know if faith has anything to do with that or not. But as far as some great wealthy relative leaving a fortune behind and I have to be the heir, I don't really ever think that's going to happen to me. Be nice. But I am an heir to greater things, to a greater kingdom, and greater promises than anything the world could ever have to offer. I'm an heir. But the problem is, I'm an heir of a mystery. Now, if I could just see it, if they've got this thing going now that I'm sure that I won't ever be a winner of a lottery unless someone buys a ticket and gives it to me and I didn't even know I had it. I won't ever win a lottery because I'm not a gambler. And you won't win a lottery if you live for God because you don't gamble. Better say that now because we're fixing to have one. But if you were to win a lottery, now they've got this thing going right now with McDonald's that they'll make you a millionaire. Kind of sounds like the thing with Reader's Digest. Reader's Digest has given away trillions of dollars, and I never heard of anybody that got any of it. I've never heard of a winner, but they're always giving away a million or a million. But if you were to win the McDonald's thing, you go down there and buy a hamburger and you get one of those tickets, that's all right. If you become a winner, that's okay. You win in Reader's Digest, that's okay. I don't know if anybody else is doing it, but maybe you'll be the rare person to do it. But you know what you're going to win. They tell you that it is $1 million or $10 million or a sack of Hard Rock candy. Whatever it is, you know what you're going to get. But the thing about God, you don't know what you're going to get. Because He's a mystery. That's right. Hallelujah. It's going to get worse, so hang on. Wherefore, He said, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Can't even find them all out. There is no way to search it out, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Hid. He hid it. Hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church, that the church may know the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. We have boldness and access. Access means you've got a ticket. That means that you are an invited guest. That you have an invitation written, sealed, signed with authority, that you have access into the things that are hidden in God, that are mysterious things. God is a mystery. Whether we like it or not, there are many things about God that is mysterious. Many things. And God likes being mysterious. And I didn't know that until today. That God works at, and He goes through great effort to be mysterious. God intends to be mysterious. He wants you to know that He's mysterious. Let me read a little bit of stuff to you that I think will help you understand. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 45. Beginning at verse 1. Somebody say amen. Amen. Everybody happy in the Lord, say amen. Amen. Everybody happy living for God, say amen. Amen. Verse 45, chapter 45, verse 1, Isaiah. Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him two levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. I will cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Cyrus, I'm going to give you the treasures of darkness. Not all He's going to do. He said, I'm also going to give you the hidden riches of secret places. Now I'm going to convince you tonight that God is mysterious. That there are things about God that He intends to be mysterious. Maybe I could use the word vague or unclear. But God is mysterious. He's talking about treasures that are in darkness. He's talking about hidden riches in secret places. How much more mysterious can you get? So let me read on down. That thou mayest know, and when I give you, let me put it in these words, when I give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, then you will know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I'm mysterious. You don't really even know me, Israel. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, from the west, and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And Isaiah said in verse 15, Oh God, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Where are you, God? You're hidden from us. We don't know how to find where you are. He said, I am the God that holds you by the hand. I am the God that makes light and darkness. I am the God that makes peace and evil, good and bad. He said, I am the God that opens gates that nobody's going to close. I am the God that causes your enemies to fall down before you. Then Isaiah said, yeah, God, we believe all that, but God, where are you? Where are you at, Lord? He said, God, because you are a God that hides yourself. Hallelujah. Let's read a little bit more of it. I'm not nearly through. Verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. You know, no wonder Peter said, Lord, who are we going to go to? Jesus looked at His disciples and said, will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, there's nobody to go to. Are you weary? Tired? Are you impatient? Have you been praying for something so long that it looks like it's just not going to come to pass? Do you have a need that you've gotten so desperate about that you feel like, God, what's wrong? Have I sinned? Has everything gone bad? Have I failed? God, have you cut me out of the program? Have you blotted my name out of the book? God, where are you? Isaiah said, He's a God that God Himself hides Himself. God does it. He hides Himself. He said, now I made everything that you see. Thus saith the Lord, I created the heavens. God Himself formed the earth and made it. He established it, and He didn't do it in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. God made blessings and promises for you to have them. Hallelujah. Every promise in Him is yes and amen. Yea. And amen. So the apostle said, every promise. And he said, I am the Lord and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said unto the seed of Jacob, seek you me in vain? Do you think you seek me in vain? I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves. Come, draw near together. You that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up wood and their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell you and bring them near. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? A just God and Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be you saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There is none else. I am God. And there is none else. I don't believe there is a person in this church that loves the Lord any more than I do. I love Him. I don't only love Him, I believe in Him. Now, I don't mind admitting to you there are times when I don't know if He'll do for me what He has done for other people. There are times when I run out. I pray for things and I ask God for things and I know the Bible says that there was a certain people who asked for things amiss that they may consume it upon their lust. I don't ask God for a new car or new clothes or a new house. I don't ask God for anything new. The Bible said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. I don't know of anything I want that I don't have. There's a lot of things I don't have that I don't need. I'm serious. I'm blessed. I don't mind telling you that I'm blessed. And I'm blessed because of God. Because I believe I'm willing to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first of all. And I believe God has blessed me. He has blessed my wife and my children because of our dedication to Him and our love for Him. But beside all that, I can't even bring myself to sit in a deer stand and ask God to let me kill a deer. I can't. And I'm not rebuking you for doing it. What else? Standing in line at Kmart and hoping the next blue light special is that garment you wanted that goes down to half price. I'm not telling you not to pray for stuff like that. Pray for whatever you want. But as far as me, I get concerned about things that I pray for and I don't want to get carnal in my request. I'm very careful what I ask God for. I feel, Lord, how can I sit here and ask you to give me something that just to consume upon my lust When other people have needs, there are people, this child is faced with surgery in the morning for brain tumor, and this little 3-year-old girl has cancer. And God, here's all these people with problems, and here I am asking you to let me kill an 8-point deer. God, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pray for something that's real, something that's important to me. I'm more concerned, God, about what you're doing than things that I just want to do. That's just me. I'm not telling you that you need to quit praying about things. I believe God has given you exceeding and great promises. And He wants you to have them all. He told Isaiah, He said, I didn't tell you to pray or to seek me in vain. When you seek me, you can find me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we come down to a point. There are so many things about God that is mysterious. The mystery. Paul so many times made reference to the mysteries of the Lord. Listen to some of the mysteries. Did you know that the resurrection of the dead is a mystery? Paul said, I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we're all going to be changed. That's a mystery. You want to understand what the mystery means? Dig it out. I got to thinking today, God does not advertise what's it called, Brother Willie? Lamar. God doesn't advertise on Lamar. He doesn't have a special place. Meet him at a certain time on a certain corner. He doesn't announce a special date that he's going to be in the Civic Center at Monroe or West Monroe and say, I'm going to meet you here and take care of all these problems. He doesn't put an article in the newspaper or on the radio and say, I'm God now, and all this other stuff is a bunch of junk, and I want you to meet me here at a certain time, and I'm going to take care of all these problems. We read in the Bible that He tells us that He is the master of every situation. He healeth all our diseases. All our diseases. Whosoever would come to Him and call on the name of the Lord would be saved. We read about these things. Then Paul comes along and he says, there are so many mysteries about Him. Then he said in another place in the book of Romans chapter 1 that the invisible things about Him are clearly understood. Even His eternal power and Godhead. We're talking about things that are not tangible. They're not physical. They're invisible things. Invisible things. Mysterious things. They're vague. They're uncertain. We just don't know how to get a grip on it. Then he goes on. He doesn't only talk about the mysteries of Him. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. Did you know the Godhead is a mystery? God doesn't advertise on Lamar billboards on I-20 and say, let me tell you that I am God, and there's not three, there's just one sign, God Himself. He made the Godhead a mystery. And if you want to know about it, you got to find it out. You got to work at it. You got to try hard. Hallelujah. The mystery of the Godhead is not going to just fall on you. You got to dig it out. And you got to search it out. Because God likes being a mystery. I wrote three titles at the top of this page. One of them I called it Hide and Seek. And I think that'd make a good title for this message tonight. We used to play that when we were kids. Hide and seek. I don't think kids do that anymore. They might. But when we were kids, we didn't have Nintendo. We had some stuff, but it wasn't Nintendo. One of my favorite toys was an old tire that had blown out. And just junk that we played with. An old swing out of a tree. And a broomstick and a tennis ball that somebody had discarded. Now, we knew how to play yard ball or stick ball. It's a sport today. It wasn't a sport then. It was a way of life. But anymore today, with all the computers and electronic games and the toys that children have, it's not the same anymore. But we used to play hide and seek. That meant that somebody went to hide and you went to seek them. You had to find out where they were. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God likes to play hide and seek. You don't believe that? You better believe that. Sister Shepherd sings that song that is one of my most favorite. Every time she sings it, I get excited. And it says, don't stop knocking on that door. It's going to open up for sure. Don't stop knocking. I told her the other day that I liked that song that she sang. And I started singing it for her. And I said, don't start knocking on that door. She said, that's not the way it goes. Maria corrected me when I sang, don't start knocking on that door. And I'll do it humorously. But really, in reality, there's a voice in the back of my mind that every time I need to find out where he's at, that keeps saying, don't start knocking on that door. Because it's not going to open up for sure. But inside I hear Jesus saying, to him that knocks, it shall be open. He that seeks is going to find. And he that asks is going to receive. Hallelujah. There are times I feel like I'm in a room full of doors. That I walk into a massive convention hall and there are hundreds of doors and I hear God's voice saying, I'm right here, Shirley. I'm here. Go ahead and touch me. And I walk over to a door and I say, God, are you in here, God? Is this where you are, God? And I don't hear anything. And I go to another door and I pound on that door and I say, God, are you in here, God? And I go from door to door to door to door. And after a while, I get tired of going from door to door. But I know somewhere in the midst of all that, he's right there and he's God and there is none else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm here to declare unto you tonight that God makes himself hard to find. God intentionally makes himself hard to find. You don't get power just by putting a quarter in the machine and pulling the lever. You don't get the Holy Ghost by punching a button and playing a game of chance. If you get all of this stuff, it's because you go after it with everything you've got. Because God makes himself a mystery. God literally hides himself from you so you'll search after him. Do you know, I don't even know how many times that this Bible talks about seeking God. It also talks about he is a friend that's closer than a brother. Sticks closer. He's never far away. You can touch him at any time. He's always there. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God deliberately makes himself hard to find at times so you will seek him. God wants you to seek him. Seek him. To seek him. Don't give up. Don't let up. This is a whole new... It may not be a new concept to you about God, but it is to me about God. It's not something that I'm not familiar with, but I never thought about God doing it like this before. The mystery of the Godhead. If you find out that Jesus Christ is God Almighty manifested in the flesh, you've got to dig it out. It don't just pop up on the side of I-20. You've got to dig it out. And find out that he is the Almighty God and there is none else. The mystery, the Bible talks about the mystery of his will. Did you know the Bible calls his will a mystery? I believe everybody in this building wants to know the will of God. If you find out the will of God in your life, you're going to have to seek it. You're going to have to search after it. You get tired? Yes, we do. Everybody in this building is going through the same thing. We've knocked on the door until we thought, God, I don't even know if you're here anymore. Lord, I have prayed and sought you. I've gone through everything I know. I've fasted. I've given my tithe. I've lived right. I've gone to church. And I'm telling you that all the while that God has deliberately hid himself. He's just there. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's right there. And God all the while is telling you, don't give up. Don't quit. I'm not over here. Don't you stop praying. Don't you stop knocking. Don't you stop asking, because my promises are real and they belong to you. I didn't tell you I'd do it to let you down. I'm here to tell you tonight that God does it on purpose. He does it intentionally. Jesus himself talked about hidden things unsearchable things. Then he comes along and he talks about three different parables. He talks about the lost sheep and the lost son and the lost coin. Jesus tried his best to enlighten us on the value of going after things that are missing. Some of you sitting in this sanctuary tonight have sat through a glorious visitation of the Holy Ghost. And you've got nothing because you did not seek Him. You did not reach out to claim what you need. You did not take hold in a fleeting, passing moment. You did not take hold. But He talked about the lost sheep, 100. And the shepherd who would leave the 99 and go looking for the one that's lost. The lost son, prodigal, that returned home. The lost coin, how a woman would literally put 9 coins on the shelf and search with a lamp and with a broom until she had found that coin. How that she would call in all of the neighbors and they would have a party because she had found that coin. Jesus Himself taught us, and here we go again, quoted it already. But he that seeks, finds. He that knocks, to him it shall be opened. He that asketh, receiveth. You've got to go after this. Am I boring you tonight? Am I losing you somewhere in the middle of all this? This stuff doesn't just pop up and come easy. You've got to go after it. You've got to make up your mind that you intend to have it. And when you make up your mind you intend to have it, you're going to get it. Because God Himself said, I didn't bring you out here to leave you. My promises are not negative. You can have everything that I've said you can have. I'm right there near you. But you've got to seek God. 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 You hear me? You've got to seek God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The closer I get to Him, the easier it is to talk to Him. The closer I get to Him, the more I pray, the more I worship Him, the easier it is to say, Jesus, I want you to heal this disease. Jesus, fill this person with the Holy Ghost. Come on, God, I want you to do it. I'm here to tell you tonight, there are mysteries about Him that I want you to understand. Hallelujah. You're talking about praying. This puts a whole new concept on the subject and the experience of praying. That's what we pray for. Pray. We seek God. Every morning we seek God. Every day. And sometimes I open the right door. Sometimes, friends, the party's going on and I haven't turned the right knob because I was looking for Him. You don't blunder into this experience. You don't just happen to stumble into it and just happen to show up at the right time. You've got to be looking for this. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. They that seek the Lord shall find Him. Now, listen, He is God. He's God. He doesn't have to be mysterious. He doesn't have to be out of touch or out of reach. He can do anything He wants to do. Wouldn't you love for God to have a holy place? Now, they tell us with the Muslim religion that Mecca's a place to go. Go there one time a year and God's there. That'd be nice. I'd go to Mecca. Or to that other town over somewhere in Iraq or wherever it's at. I'd go. If I knew God was there. But in so many of these places, we read an article here a few days ago of another person that now is going to be made a saint. You know, they've got an image of a lady back 200 years ago or something that she was kind to sick people and she nursed people back to health. So they made an image of her. And they say that people can go up to this image and touch it and be healed of sickness. And their pains and diseases will just go away. But it just ain't like that. That's not God. That's Satan. That's not God worship. That's Satan worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it just doesn't happen that way. Now, can you imagine the young rich ruler that came to Jesus and he said, the Bible said, he fell down and worshiped Him. Good Master, Jesus said, what are you doing calling me good? You know there's none good but God. Why are you calling me good? Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "I want to know what I can do to inherit eternal life." Jesus said, "I'll tell you what to do." He said, "Keep the commandments." He said, "Honor your father and mother. Don't kill anybody." And there was three, I think, he mentioned to him. And the young ruler looked at him and he said, "Been some of us would have said, hot dog. I do all that. I'm all right." But then Jesus looked at him and he gave him those shocking words. He said, "But you're missing something. Me. I have been obedient to the commandments all my life. I love my mom and dad. I've never killed anybody. I've never broken any of the Ten Commandments. I'm a pretty good fella." Jesus said, He said, "You're missing something. You're missing something." That's the way we feel sometimes. We feel like we've done everything we can do, gone as far as we can go. We have lived up to everything that's been preached and still feel like something's missing. Am I telling the truth? You know why it feels that way? Because God wants you to know that all of His riches and His promises are unsearchable. That He's always going to be a mystery to you. You'll never figure Him out. You'll never have everything that belongs to Him. You'll never have everything that pertains to Him. When you finally do, you say, "Lord, I want to lay hands on the sick and I want them to recover. I want to lay hands on somebody and I want them to receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues." So you seek God for that. And the Lord says, "Okay, you got it." So you lay hands on someone and their blind eyes pop open and they start screaming, "I can see." And just about the time you think you have reached a third heaven, then Jesus speaks up and says, "You're still missing something. You haven't got it all yet." "Oh God, I thought this was it. God, is there more than this?" But He said His riches are unsearchable. And the mysteries of Him are hid in God. So, I've been pounding on some doors here lately. And I haven't got the right one yet. And I don't mind admitting to you there are times when I get so tired of beating on doors. And I feel like, "Lord, I just can't pound on any doors anymore." And just about the time that I think that I'm going to quit pounding on doors, I hear the music. And I found one with a party. And that's it. And I get what I'm looking for. And I find my answer. I'm telling you, don't get discouraged because you don't get an answer to what you need the first time you ask. Don't get disappointed and don't blame God and get upset with God because it don't happen the way you think it ought to happen, because God enjoys playing hide and seek with you. That's different, isn't it? Say, "Brother Shirley, I don't believe God would do that." Ask Him. It's what it said in His Word. It said His promises are hid in Him. He is a God that hides Himself. And you're supposed to go find out where He's at. You're supposed to search Him out, seek Him out, and touch Him. How many of you stopped one shout short of getting your answer? How many of you stopped one leap or one dance, one step before getting your answer? How many of you quit 1 minute before breaking through to a glorious victory that would have been the grandest thing that ever happened in your life? Now, He looked at the young man and He said, "You've kept all the commandments, but something is wrong. You're missing something. Lord, I thought I was doing everything You wanted me to do." Jesus said, "But you've got too much. Go sell what you've got, give it to the poor, take up your cross and come follow Me." Well, He had no idea that that was a hang up. Not until the Lord told him it was. "Now I'm going to preach, you might as well just get with me. Because I know God's in what I'm saying tonight." Because there are times in our lives when we feel that we have done all we can do, all that has been required of us, all that has been preached to us. We have prayed, lived right, dressed right, we've done right, we've been faithful, we've come, and we feel like, "God, I don't understand why I can't get my answer." I'm not saying that God is playing a game with us,
That's not what I'm insinuating. What I'm saying to you is God wants you to know that He's there. But He's not going to be like some little pickup on the sidewalk in downtown Monroe on Louisville Avenue. God wants you to know that if you want Him, you can find Him. But you've got to seek Him and stay after it. Somebody help me a little bit. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Martha, when Jesus came into the city where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived, He turned into their house. Martha invited Him in. And the Bible said she was busy taking care of the meal and the pots and the pans and the plates and the bowls and the silverware and the napkins and the tablecloth and the chairs and everything. While Martha was busy taking care of all that. And sometimes we get busy. And I applaud and appreciate the candy making. The hundreds of dollars worth of candy that was made for a project in this church. For the projects that are done. The money that is raised. I appreciate all that. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that doesn't always turn out as an act of seeking God. That doesn't supplement prayer. You can't leave out prayer and worship and get involved in a physical project. I'm telling you that seeking God is a business of its own. That if you're going to get close to Him and get your answers and touch Him, that you've got to dedicate yourself to the process of seeking God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you. I do know about you. But I know about me. I've got to seek God. I've got to seek God. Martha was busy and just Mary. Mary was just sitting down at His feet, just looking at Him and listening to what He was saying. And Martha comes along and she says, "Lord, can't you see the table's not set? The ice isn't in the glasses? The tea's not poured? Can't you see, Lord? Biscuits ain't even out of the oven. And here sits this girl down here. She just gawking and gazing and she ain't doing nothing. Lord, get her up from there. Tell her she needs to help me out." Jesus looked at Martha and He said, "Now, Martha, Martha." He said, you are burdened out with a bunch of stuff. He said, all these things are bothering you. But said, now Mary has chosen the best thing and it's not going to be taken away from her. Sometimes we get so busy with stuff that we forget what some of the most important things are. We get so busy, we just miss the fact that we need to just stay as close to Him as we can so we can hear Him and touch Him. Then along comes Cornelius. A good man and a devout man, one that prayed and feared God and sought God, sought God. And along comes an angel and says, "Cornelius, you're missing something, buddy. But I thought I was a praying man. I thought I was a faithful man, a godly man, a giving man, a man who was fair and free-hearted. I thought I had it together." And an angel comes along and says, "You better go get a preacher. You're missing some stuff." I feel the Holy Ghost tonight would say to the people of this church congregation and family, that you've got a lot of things together, but you're missing some stuff. And you're not going to get it until you seek it. It's not going to just fall on you and just happen by coincidence. You're going to have to go ahead. Pray for me, Sister Kim. I don't know if I'll stop, but I'm not going to take back what I'm preaching tonight, because what I'm saying I know is right. That God deliberately hides Himself. Not that He's trying to hurt you or leave you out. He's not trying to wreck your life. He's not trying to let you down. God wants you to find out where He is. God wants you to seek Him with all your heart, with all your might. The more I think about it, I think I like that concept. Even though I don't get my way a lot of times I don't find the answers I'm looking for. I'll tell you one thing. In this business of living for God, it's not easy come, easy go. I know Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." But the faith and the victory that I've got in Jesus Christ tonight, I fought for it. I fought for this. I fought enough devils, if they were stacked on top of one another, they would fill NLU Stadium to the top. Or they'd chalk up the Washita and back it up somewhere up around Arkansas. If all the devils that I fought to keep this faith and this confidence in God were all stacked together. This didn't come easy. But I kept pounding on every door. And there were times that I thought God really had done me an injustice by making me seek so hard. But while I was going through the process, something inside of me was breaking and dying. So I would learn how to help people. I was trying to learn how to touch God. And I can tell you, He's always there. He's always there. But God really likes for us to find Him and to seek Him out. There are times when we have to just throw our hands up and worship God, sing our song and shout victory. We know He's there somewhere. And when the door is open and the flood of His presence comes in, it's like a washing wave that just sweeps over us. And the sick are healed. And the lost are filled. And the discouraged are encouraged. And the down and out are lifted up. You just have to keep knocking on the door. Asking, seeking, knocking. Because all of your promises, all of your answers are hid in God. I don't know whether I'm getting through or not. I'm telling you that all of your answers are hid in God. He don't have them hanging all over Him like ornaments. They're not magnified like tinsel. They're not radiant like neon signs. Everything you want from God is hid in Him. I wasn't raised by a daddy. I would like to have been. Maybe I would have learned how to be a better daddy if I'd have been raised by a good daddy. But I heard of one dad one time that he'd come home and he'd bring gifts to his little girl or his kids, and he'd put it in his pocket. And they'd swarm all over him. They'd check every pocket until they come up with the right pocket. That's the way God is sometimes. He says, "Hey, Greg Thompson, you've been asking for something. Got it in my pocket." He says, "Which one, God?" And God says, "Fine. Put your hand in here, Greg." So he checks the lapel pocket. "It's not there, God. Try a coat pocket." And you just kind of go all over God. He said, "Brother Shirley, you've been ridiculous." "No, I'm not. I'm telling you that the stuff we want don't come easy. He'll never let you down. He'll never fail you. What you got to do is just keep digging in his pockets. You got to just keep putting your hand in those secret places. Because every promise, every miracle, every answer is all hid in him. It's all hid in him. Don't give up. Don't quit asking. Don't quit knocking. Don't quit seeking. Because as long I'm going to speak this on behalf of God. You hear what I'm saying? Come here, Mike. I'm going to speak this as the Holy Ghost has anointed me. Because every answer, stand right here. Every answer, every miracle, everything you need, as long as God has got it and you're looking for it, you'll stay close to Him. You'll be right there close to Him. As long as you're still looking for it. But if God just give you everything you wanted and stuffed your pockets and your accounts and set you down the road, you wouldn't need Him anymore. You just wouldn't need Him anymore. So God likes to make Himself a mystery. He likes to hide Himself. "I'm over here! Where are you, God? I'm over here!" And it's like an echo in an empty chamber in darkness. "Where are you, God? Right here! I'm not gone! I'm still here! Find me!" Sometimes in the midst of all the search, I told that group today in orientation, I'd rather teach an orientation class than preach in the sanctuary on Sunday night. I have. I'd rather preach to those brand new babies, because I can say, you know why we wear sleeves to the elbow? And I say, this is the reason. And they say, oh, I see it. You know why we don't cut our hair or we don't wear makeup? You know why we do this? And they say, oh, I see it. And there's so much pleasure in those new people saying, oh, I didn't know why. I didn't know why you did that. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, I see it. I love it. I want to do it. It's such a wonderful thing. In the process of searching after God, all of a sudden the light comes on and there it is. Then you can shout. Because He is a God that hides Himself. He can be touched and He can be found. Search after Him. He said, He's not ever far from you, that lest happily you should feel after Him. God wants you to do that. He wants you to feel after Him. Like having a blindfold on. Like pin the tail on the donkey or something, you know. Well, yeah, God. And He says, over here. Oh, okay. Where'd you go, God? Over here. You're being ridiculous, Brother Shirley. No. As long as He keeps you reaching, you'll always be close to Him. As long as He keeps you digging, you'll stay close to Him. And He's going to give you enough and enough and enough that you learn and you're blessed and you grow and you're stronger and stronger and stronger. That's the mystery of God. We never get Him all at one time. He keeps itself just out of reach. And He gives you just enough to want more and more and more.
I want someone to have been kind. He doesn't miss. We're not going to close this. We're going to wait on God a while. We're going to sing it again. It just says, move me with your message once again. It's been so long since I did broke with you. Take me back one more to Calvary. Message moves me. Sing it again. Move me with your message once again. It's been so long since I've been broken. There's some people in this place tonight, right on the verge of claiming your miracle. You are so close tonight to God's given answer. Don't give up now. Don't let go of the hope that has been set before you. Don't turn loose. He's still right there. He's going to come through. He's going to come through. Thank you.
in this building tonight that you desire to be a soul winner, that you really want God to use you in leading other people to Him. I want you to stand up. Don't do it now just because this is convenient. You really want to be a soul winner. You really want to be a soul winner. There are at least 200 people standing in this place tonight. There are enough people in this place that you could take Washtenaw Parish by storm. Every door in this parish could be knocked on. Every human being could be witnessed to out of the crowd that's standing in this place tonight. If you were not a door knocker, just to know that you were here interceding, intercessory prayer, while they were walking the streets and the lanes and the alleys of the city. Well, you discovered there was just one God. That Jesus Christ is God Almighty manifested in the flesh, that He is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost all in one. That's a revelation of a mystery. You found out that after death there's going to be a resurrection, and we're going to rise to be with Him and stand before Him or before judgment seat. That's a great mystery. You found out there is a plan of salvation. Repentance, water, baptism in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues is God's way to be saved. That's a great mystery. But to find out those answers, you had to look for it. It didn't just happen. I'm telling you tonight that God has a will for you. But the will of God tonight for your life is hidden and shrouded in mystery. God just wants you to reach for it. He wants you to go after it. He wants you to ask for it. And He won't let you down. So tonight, God hid it. And we're going to seek it. And we're not going to quit until we find it. We're going to sing it again. And when we sing it this time, I think we're going to turn this whole church into an altar tonight. Because I think God's got some things to say to us in this place tonight. There's some people in this place I think who are ready to pray. Been so long since I've been broken. Oh, take.